Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Mary Magruarte Nishley. Happy to have you with us. I'll be reading today from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Today's headlines have to do with former Navajo Nation president criticizing leadership silence on the many budget cuts now occurring, Navajo jockey being recognized, many Navajo advocates pushing for REC reauthorization, crime in the city of Flagstaff, changes possible in the Holbrook School Board, and other related news. Let's start with this article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, February 18th. First appearing online on February 15th. Headline, former Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez criticizes budget cuts and leadership silence. This is by Donovan Quintero. Dateline, Window Rock. Former Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez has strongly criticized recent federal staffing cuts, arguing that they threaten public servants, Native American communities, and veterans. In a statement released Saturday, Nez expressed concerns that these reductions, which he attributes to billionaire Elon Musk's influence, violate constitutional norms and disproportionately impact tribal nations. These actions disregard long-standing norms, laws, and constitutional checks and balances, Nez wrote, warning that the cuts will have serious consequences for Indian country. He specifically pointed to staffing reductions at the Indian Health Service, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the Department of Veterans Affairs, stating that they would hit families hard. My heart goes out to the career public servants who have fallen victim to Elon Musk's chaotic firing spree, which likely violates the United States Constitution, Nez said. Nez emphasized that the budget cuts are not just financial decisions, but a direct threat to the relationship between the tribes, all tribes, and the federal government. He described the reductions as a disservice to the public and a failure to uphold treaty and trust obligations. Nez further warned that these changes would affect the Navajo Nation, all tribal nations, and businesses working with tribes across the country. Nez also aimed at several political figures for their silence on the cuts. He specifically criticized Congressman Eli Crane, who has positioned himself as a strong advocate for veterans but has not opposed the reductions. Eli Crane said he was going to fight for veterans, yet he enabled the current administration to drive up costs on average Americans, including veterans, and cut vital resources for them, Nez wrote. Nez also criticized the Nygren administration and the 25th Navajo Nation Council, saying that while Indian country faces these challenges, the Navajo Nation has remained silent. There is a void in the leadership, as the Nygren administration boasts about befriending the same Washington, D.C. big shots who ignore our treaty guarantees, Nez stated. He directly questioned Navajo Nation President Boo Nygren's leadership, suggesting that Nygren has prioritized building relationships with Washington officials over advocating for his people. Nez framed the cuts as part of a larger political strategy to benefit billionaires at the expense of hardworking Americans. These cuts are a gross abuse of power designed to pay for a massive tax giveaway to billionaires like Elon Musk, he stated, calling for more decisive action from leaders. Meanwhile, two senior lawmakers are urging the Department of Health and Human Services to lift a federal hiring freeze, which they say threatens health services for Native American and Alaska Native communities. In a February 10th letter to Acting Health and Human Services Secretary Dorothy A. Fink, Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, and Representative Shelley Pingree, Democrat of Maryland, said the January 20th hiring freeze and workforce reductions violate congressional directives and weaken the Indian Health Service. The hiring freeze and other workforce reductions impact the ability of Indian Health Service to provide essential medical services, Merkley and Pingree wrote. This decision further strains an agency already facing staff shortages. The lawmakers cited data showing nearly 2,000 vacant positions in the Indian Health Service last year. A 2018 Government Accountability Office report found a 25% provider vacancy rate at Indian Health Service facilities, limiting access to emergency care, maternity services, and behavioral health programs. Merkley and Pingree warned that tribal health facilities might be forced to cut services, affecting care for 2.8 million American Indians and Alaska Natives who rely on the Indian Health Service. Their letter also emphasized the federal government's trust responsibility to tribal nations, urging Fink to reverse the hiring freeze and restore IHS staffing levels. The federal government must uphold its legal obligations to Native communities, they wrote. Healthcare access for millions of people is at risk. While Nez condemned what he called complacency, he praised Arizona Representative Greg Stanton, a Democrat of the 4th District, for standing up for Indian country. Nez contrasted Stanton's advocacy with Crane and Nygren's inaction, saying they had failed to oppose the cuts. The Navajo Times attempted to reach President Nygren for comment, but he did not respond. However, in a statement released on Friday, Nygren addressed concerns about a directive from the Office of Personnel Management related to the termination of probationary federal employees, including those in the Indian Health Service, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the Bureau of Indian Education. Nygren acknowledged that the directive raised concerns for the Navajo Nation, which depends on federal funding and workforce stability for critical services. He said his administration is actively engaged with the Trump administration to secure exemptions for essential personnel in the Indian Health Service and Bureau of Indian Affairs. President Trump has heard our concerns and has allowed for the exemption of many IHS and BIE workers, ensuring that these critical services continue without disruption, and we thank him, Nygren said. He admitted that not all positions were exempted, but assured the Navajo people that his administration continues to advocate for restoring impacted jobs. Nygren encouraged community members to reach out to his office for more information, emphasizing that protecting essential services remains a top priority for the Navajo Nation. Nez concluded his statement by calling on Arizonans to push back against these cuts, urging communities to unite and fight for policies that support working families rather than benefiting billionaires. We must unite in common sense and stand up, warrior up, for our communities and the generations of Americans to come, Nez wrote. Another article from the Navajo Times of November 18th, this one appearing first online on February 13th. This is by Robert Bettis for the Navajo Times, Dateline, Chinle, Arizona. Cordarelton J. Benn, a Diné jockey, has made history as the first full-blooded Diné to achieve significant success in the professional horse racing industry. Recently recognized by the Navajo Nation Council during its winter session in January, Ben's groundbreaking career and dedication to his craft have earned him a place in this competitive sport. We are happy to see his success recognized and wish him a good career going forward. Let me remind you that you're listening to Northland Views from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also get our stream and on-demand programs with the new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android devices. Now let's look at some articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, February 5th. From the community page on page 3, Navajo people push for RECA reauthorization, U.S. senators reintroduce bill. This is by Shondeen Silversmith, first published in the Arizona Mirror. Holding signs that read, "Honor the Treaty of 1868, reauthorize RECA, funding for health care, and Speaker Johnson, pass RECA before we die," a group of Diné people marched to the Navajo Nation Council chambers in Window Rock January 27th to commemorate the National Day of Remembrance for Downwinders and to urge their tribal leaders to push the U.S. Congress to reauthorize the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, or RECA. The Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, RECA, provides a program that compensates individuals who become ill because of exposure to radiation from the United States development and testing of nuclear weapons. But because of congressional inaction, the program expired last summer. That means no new claims can be filed, and only claims postmarked before June 10, 2024, will be considered at all. "We're still fighting for RECA up in Washington," Kathleen Tsosi said on an Instagram live video of the group's march. Tsosi's father, grandfather, and uncles all worked as uranium miners on the Navajo Nation near Cove, Arizona, from the 1940s to the 1960s. From 1944 to 1986, nearly 30 million tons of uranium ore were extracted from Navajo lands, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and hundreds of Navajo people worked in the mines, often living and raising families in close proximity to the mines and mills. Tsosi is also a two-time cancer survivor, has advocated for RECA for decades, and serves on the Navajo Uranium Radiation Victims Committee. In front of the Navajo Nation Council chambers, Tsosi discussed the importance of working with Republican-held U.S. House and Senate to pass RECA now. "We don't know what lies ahead," she said, adding their most recent efforts included sending several groups to Washington, D.C. in September to advocate for the reauthorization of RECA. One of those groups included the Sawmill Diné Warriors, a group of Navajo people mainly from the small community located approximately 20 miles north of Window Rock, Arizona. Maggie Billiman, a founder of Sawmill Diné Warriors, spoke in front of the Navajo Nation Council chambers on Monday, calling for continued support for RECA and families across the country. She said she fights for justice for RECA on behalf of her children and will continue to fight for her tribe and others throughout the country until the act passes. "The White House needs to know we're human as much as they are," Billiman added. A bipartisan group of senators hopes to restart RECA after last year's legislation failed to pass the U.S. House of Representatives. U.S. Senators Mark Kelly, Democrat of Arizona, Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, Martin Heinrich, Democrat of New Mexico, Ben Ray Lujan, Democrat of New Mexico, and Eric Schmidt, Republican of Missouri, have reintroduced the bill to compensate people who were exposed to radiation by government weapons programs. Between the 1940s and 90s, thousands of uranium mines operated in the United States, according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Most operated in Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Arizona, typically on federal and tribal lands. The number of mining locations associated with uranium is around 15,000, according to the EPA, and of those, more than 4,000 have documented uranium production. For decades, Arizonans living near uranium mining sites and nuclear testing zones have been exposed to dangerous levels of radiation, causing people to suffer from serious health conditions, Kelly said in a press release. We owe it to them and to all those impacted across the country to right this wrong and help them get the support they deserve. The RECA expansion bill would include more communities downwind of nuclear test sites in the United States and Guam. It would extend eligibility for uranium workers, including those who worked after 1971. Communities harmed by radioactive waste from the tests could apply for the program, and expansion would also boost compensation payments to account for inflation. The time to reauthorize RECA is now, Hawley said in a press release. During the RECA Advocates March to the Navajo Nation Capitol on Monday, Navajo Nation Council Delegate Amber Canazba Crotty said the Navajo Nation has to continuously remind their congressional and federal leaders in charge of making decisions regarding compensation that their people and communities have suffered at the hands of radioactive materials for generations. The federal government knew how that material would impact the lives of our fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, she said, and it continues to impact the lives of their children and grandchildren. Crotty said uranium left a legacy of contamination, pain, and health disparities throughout the Navajo Nation, and it's time for Congress and the federal government to fully compensate all those who have been impacted. The time is now, she added, noting that this is a bipartisan issue and should be supported by both parties. The United States needs to restore what they have taken from our communities, Crotty said, and one of those first steps is expanding and fully funding RECA. Now, news slightly closer to home. This from the community page of the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, February 5th. Headline, One Dead, One Injured in Tuba City Shootings. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Dateline, Tuba City, Arizona. A man is dead and another injured after a suspect shot two different individuals in Tuba City January 26th, the Navajo Police Department said. At around 8:18 p.m., the suspect shot a non-native man in the head in the AutoZone parking lot. This man died from his injuries. At 8:39 p.m., the suspect shot another man outside a residence. That victim was sent to the Flagstaff Medical Center. After investigation, the suspect's vehicle was located and the suspect for both shootings was detained. Officers from the Tuba City District were called out to assist with the investigation. There are three scenes that were secured by Navajo police. FBI and the Navajo Department of Criminal Investigations are conducting the investigation. Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin said his heart is heavy as he sends prayers to the victims and community of Tuba City. I am grateful for the swift response of our first responders and law enforcement, who acted quickly to ensure the safety of others, he said. Nygren assured that the Navajo Nation has confirmed the suspect is in custody and the community is safe. Tragic events such as these not only result in loss of life, but also add to the mental health challenges that many of our people already face, he said. Let us all commit to helping each other find healthier ways to cope with life's struggles, whether through prayer, counseling, or traditional ceremonies. May we seek the healing we need. Another headline from the community page. Navajo Nation Council Speaker Crystalyn Curley re-elected to serve her second term. Dateline, Window Rock. Window Rock, Arizona. Crystalyn Curley, on January 27th, was re-elected to serve for another two-year term as Speaker of the 25th Navajo Nation Council. My number one priority is my people, the ones who don't have transportation, water, utilities, and who live 5 miles off the highway, Curley said. We have to think outside the box on how we can get resources and dollars out to people and into the future. The Navajo Nation Council chamber was filled as the council opened the winter session. Formal proceedings included the posting of the colors by the Chinle High School ROTC, the Pledge of Allegiance led by Miss Navajo 2425, Renisha C. Begay, and the National Anthem performed by Cleveland Middle School from the Albuquerque Public School District. After adopting the 2025 Winter Council Session agenda, the Council moved directly into legislation 0004-25, which relates to the selection and confirmation of the Speaker of the 25th Navajo Nation Council. Council Delegate Danny Simpson introduced an amendment to legislation 004-25 to establish a 5-minute time limit for each nominee to present their platform. In the final round of nominations, Curley received 13 votes, while Claw and Narviso each received 4. Council Delegate Nez received 3. A runoff was held between Claw and Narviso, in which Claw received 8 votes and Narviso received 16, advancing him to the final round. In the final round, Curley received 16 votes, securing her continued speakership, while Narviso received 8 votes. As a speaker, I encourage continued support among my fellow colleagues. You've shaped me into the leader I am today, and I respect each of you, Curley said. One of our biggest accomplishments has been securing our water rights. This couldn't have happened without the leadership of our committees and chairs. With my colleagues, I've worked to monitor ARPA dollars with the unified goal of not reverting a penny to the federal government. Curley encouraged solution-based leadership that keeps the future of the Navajo people as the priority. Now, another local item from a slightly different part of Navajo Nation and adjacent territories. From page 7 of the Navajo Hopi Observer, headline, Holbrook Unified School District Board Members to Consider New Plans. Dateline, St. Michael's, Arizona. The Office of Navajo Nation Human Rights Commission and Holbrook Unified School District No. 3 held a meeting for Navajo chapters that are in the school district to provide an update on the very first redistricting of school board wards. After 30 years of not redistricting Holbrook Unified School District, board members are considering new plans. In 1988, Clark versus Holbrook USD No. 3 lawsuit was filed against Holbrook Unified School District No. 3 because Navajos could not elect a candidate of their choice when school board members were elected at large. George Clark, then a member of the Navajo Nation Council, filed a lawsuit. The Federal District Court approved the stipulated agreement between parties that the school district must institute a single-member district. In addition, the agreement was the school district would redistrict the school board districts every 10 years. Since 1989, the judgment HUSD number 3 did not redistrict the single-member wards at all, according to the decennial census counts in 1990, 2000, 2010, and 2020. Currently, there are now efforts to redistrict the single-member wards using the 2020 census data. It is clear that 3 of the 5 board districts can represent Navajo voters. The commission has developed redistricting plans for the 5-member wards. HUSD number 3 will be hosting 2 public review meetings for comments on the recommended redistricting plans. One public review will be on the Navajo Nation at Indian Wells Elementary on February 11, 2025 at 6 o'clock p.m., and one public review will be on March 4, 2025 at 6 p.m. at the district office. During the March 4th meeting, the current school board members will vote on proposed redistricting plans. For more information, you may contact the commission at this phone number, 928-871-7436. This information was provided by the Office of Navajo Nation Human Rights Commission. Another event of potential interest to listeners, Flagstaff Literacy Fair on February 22nd. There will be free books for everyone at Read On Arizona's Literacy Fair at Killip Elementary School in Flagstaff on February 22nd from 9 a.m. to noon. Enjoy engaging literacy activities for children ages birth to age 8. Receive valuable parental and grandparental resources. Enjoy coffee, snacks, and quick workshops designed to boost early learning experience and visits from local mascots and book reading. Killip Elementary School is located at 2300 East 6th Avenue off of 4th Street in Flagstaff. And this event is open to any member of the public interested in early literacy. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Northland Views. I'm your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Mary McGrarty Nishley. Ahehe, thank you so much for listening. That's it for this program. Join us again at this time next week. Until then, hagone.